You're listening to the preaching podcast of Victory Baptist Church in Roanoke Rapids, North Carolina, led by Pastor Jeremy Kobernak. It is our desire that you will be helped by this Bible message.
First Corinthians chapter 9, we find in this chapter 10 times the word gospel is found in this one chapter. You say, why is the gospel mentioned and referred to 10 times in one chapter? I believe it's for this reason. Because as we examine and as we study this incorruptible crown, this victor's crown, I think God wanted us to know, and I think God wanted to remind us that we are not striving for a crown for our own glory. It's not so we can compare ourselves. I can say, well, I'm doing better than so-and-so. And it's not so that you can say, well, I'm doing better than him or I'm doing better than her. This is not competition between us. This is competition with ourselves. This is, I want to be the best I can be, not compared to everybody else, but compared to the potential that God has given me. And God has given you and I potential. God has given us opportunities. God has given us a privilege that we have to earn a crown, not for us, but for the sake of the gospel, so that people can be saved. Let me remind you, that's why we're here today. That's why when you got saved, God left you on this earth, because we have been given a challenge to go into all the world and preach the what? The gospel to every creature. Has every creature received the gospel yet? No. So we still have a job to do. There is still something for us to do. And everything we do, all that is encompassed in our lives, ought to be for the purpose of seeing people come to know Jesus Christ. The gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. Without the gospel, we do not have salvation. Without the gospel, we have nothing worthwhile to share. We have nothing good in ourselves to say, well, if you could be more like me. As a matter of, that's scary. As a matter of fact, if that's all we got to say, we might as well shut her down and go home now. But our message is not be more like me or be more like us or be more like this or more like that. The message is, Jesus Christ died for you and you can be saved, and he took your place and he paid for your sin, and Jesus Christ suffered for you, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. And we have good news because we have the gospel. It's found in verse 12. It's found in verse 14, verse 16, verse 17, verse 18, verse 23. The word gospel is found at least once. In a couple instances, it's found multiple times. I want you to see in verse 14, as we begin, number one, as we look at the incorruptible crown, number one, there is a responsibility that we have to preach. Verse 14, even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. Now, time out. Sometimes we think of preaching and we think that's the pastor's job. That's the evangelist's job. That's the missionary's job. That's the staff's job. But I got news for you. If you're here today and you are a child of God, you have a responsibility to preach the gospel. You have a responsibility to share the gospel. The Great Commission was given, not just to preachers. It was given to every Christian, every child of God. We are to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So there is a responsibility to preach. This week, you have a responsibility at your job. You have a responsibility with your family, with your neighbors. You have a responsibility with your friends, your coworkers. You have a responsibility, and I have a responsibility to share the gospel. I'm glad somebody shared the gospel with me. I'm glad somebody shared the gospel with my family. My dad and mom were both saved. I was born into a Christian home, but I'm glad that my dad showed me from the Bible how I could be saved, and I'm glad that I made that decision for myself. When my dad was a teenager in Rockford, Illinois, somebody cared enough to drive a bus. Somebody cared enough to go and knock on his door and invite my dad and his sister and his brothers to come to church. I'm glad somebody cared about him. I'm glad somebody cared about my mom when she was a young lady in Denver, Colorado. I'm glad she had some friends from school that invited her to church. And although my mom's mom and grandmother had been saved, she wasn't really going to church on a regular basis. And she got in church and got saved, and she surrendered her life to serve God. I'm glad somebody cared. I'm glad there was a church. I'm glad there was a youth group. I'm glad there was a bus ministry. I'm glad there was somebody that cared about them. Well, friend, I want to tell you, somebody cared about you, and somebody cared about me. We ought to care about somebody else. We ought to share the good news of the gospel. We are to preach, number one. But secondly, I see in verse 16, there's a problem. The problem in verse 16, I see it's twofold. One is sometimes the problem is that we think, because we have the gospel, we think that we're better than others. That's a mistake. That's an error, because you and I are not better than anybody else. Except for the grace of God, we could be lost. We could be on our way to hell. Or even worse yet, we could already be in hell were it not for the grace of God. Sometimes we think that we can boast. We think we can glory. I like what Paul said. He said, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. You've got nothing to glory in, and I've got nothing to glory in unless it's about Jesus, unless it's about what he did for us. But I see there's another problem. Not only that sometimes we glory and we think we are better, but sometimes the problem is that we don't share the gospel. Paul said in verse 16, for necessity, that means it's a duty, it's an obligation. Necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. That word woe, it's W-O-E, but it means a shame, it's a grief. When you read that in the Bible, it means it's a sad thing, it's an awful thing, it's a heartbreaking thing that we would not share the gospel with somebody else. And friend, this week, if we don't share the gospel, shame on us, because somebody shared it with us. There's a problem if we don't preach the gospel. Verse 19, Paul said, for though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all that I might gain the more. It's interesting, of course, in Bible times, especially in the Roman Empire, there was a lot of emphasis on those who were free and those who were servants. There was a great emphasis on those who were Jews and those who were Gentiles. But Paul said, I'm free. He said, I'm not a servant. I'm not in bondage. I'm not in slavery. But Paul said, I have made myself a servant. What's he talking about? He said, I'm a servant to Jesus Christ. I've got a job to do. I've got a responsibility. I've got an obligation. In Romans chapter 1, Paul says, I am a debtor. Now, Paul didn't owe those people money. Paul wasn't getting bills from these people. But yet Paul said, I feel like there is a debt that I owe because I have been given the gospel. He said, I feel like I owe it to somebody else to share it with them. There is a necessity to preach the gospel. Number one, the preaching. Number two, the problem when we don't preach it. But then number three, I see in verse 23 that we are partners together. I like this. Verse 23, this I do for the gospel's sake that I might be partaker thereof with you. Now think about this. As we go out this week into the world, we're not going by ourselves. Aren't you glad we have a church? Aren't you glad we have the body of Christ, a local assembly of believers that we can encourage one another? We can help each other. We can motivate each other. How many of you know we don't have to be lone rangers? The Christian life was not intended for you to be an island and for you to do it by yourself. The Christian life is God's people working together. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, the Bible says we are co-laborers together with God. So not only are we working together with us, we've got God on our team. We're not alone. You're not alone. You don't need to be discouraged this week. You don't need to be down in the dumps. You don't need to be depressed. You're not the only one that's got struggles. I'm not the only one that's got struggles. God knew we would need a church family to bear one another's burdens. Now, some people, I feel like they've got the burden, right? They are the burden, right? Sometimes you get around somebody and you think, good night, has that person ever had a good day? But that's not the way it's supposed to be. We're not going to try to hurt people and to tear people down and to try to discourage people. We ought to come to church, and you say, well, I came this morning, I didn't feel good. Well, I understand that. We all have those days. But I hope by the time you leave, I hope you're glad you came to church. I hope you got an encouraging word. I hope when you're walking out the door and somebody says, wow, that was a great day today in church, I hope you got something good to say. Say, well, it was cold. Oh, it was too hot. Oh, the person next to me, they didn't sing very well. Or, you know, hey, it's okay. Think of something positive and just rejoice that we get to come to church. Just rejoice that we get to know the Lord. Just rejoice that God has still given us the ability to get to this place and to assemble and to encourage one another. We are partners. We are laborers together. But then I see quickly, number four, I see the prize. Verse 24, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that ye may obtain. In Bible times, they would run and they would participate in the Olympic Games, and that's a lot of what Paul is referring to here. And there were different levels, you know, maybe like today, we would have a first place, second place, third place, gold, silver, bronze, whatever you want to call it. But let's be honest. Most people don't celebrate a whole lot about second place. If you don't believe me, you didn't watch the Super Bowl last Sunday night. I didn't say celebrating going on. And that was, as far as the NFL, that was the second best team of all those teams that didn't even make it. But everybody wants first place, right? The gold, the silver, and the bronze, the Olympic Games. Yes, you get a medal, and yes, there's recognition, and yes, that's commendable, but what's everybody going for? Everybody's going for first. I've never heard anybody interviewed after the Olympics, and they said, you know, I got second place, and that's what I wanted. I knew I was going a little too fast, so I had to slow it down just a little bit because I didn't want to get that first place. I wanted that second place. That's the coveted medal that I... No, nobody wants that. So Paul says, in a race, everybody runs, but only one receives the prize. In 2018, the longest on record, the longest World Series game was played. It lasted 18 innings. It took 7 hours and 20 minutes before the game was decided. You say, why didn't they just go home? Why didn't they just call it? Because somebody had to win. Somebody had to be number one. And so they had to go until that tie was broken. Well, that's the way the world operates. And that's the way it is in basketball. And that's the way it is in, I guess some sports end in a tie, but you know, understand what I'm saying. Is everybody wants to be first place. But here's what Paul says. He says they're doing all of that so that they can get a temporal crown. Can you imagine giving your whole life for the Olympics and you never get a medal? Can you imagine spending hours every day and years of your life and training and working and you get nothing for it? But Paul says, we're not wasting time. We're not just trying to get the world's recognition. Paul says, we are running, verse 25, we are striving for the mastery, not for a corruptible crown, but we're doing it for an incorruptible crown. There is a prize. I believe if you're in a race, you ought to run. I believe you should run to obtain the prize. I think you ought to do your best. I think I ought to do my best. I think we ought to give it our best. I think we ought to give it our all. You say, well, you know, nobody's perfect. Nobody's talking about being perfect. What we're talking about is whether we eat or drink or whatever we do, to do all to the glory of God. Could you say this week that everything you did was all to the glory of God? I hope so. That's the way I want to live this week. That's the way I want to be today. I want to give everything I have. By the way, God is worthy of our best. He is worthy of our all. He is worthy of our love. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. I see quickly number five. I see there's a purpose. Paul says in verse number 26, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly. If a runner is running a race, that runner's got to be focused on the finish line. That runner is not focused on what's going on the side. The runner is not worried about what everybody else is doing. I've told the story many times, I'm sure by now, but when I was in Little League Baseball in Illinois, first of all, I always wanted to win. I always wanted our team to win. I always wanted to do my best. And it used to make me so mad because we had some boys on that team that cared nothing about baseball. All they cared about was popcorn and soda after the game. I mean, they wouldn't even put forth any effort in the baseball game, but as soon as the baseball game was over, they made a beeline to the concession stand, and they were there to get their popcorn and their soda, and you would have thought they went to Disney World just because they were at the concession stand. Well, friend, I want to tell you, in the Christian life, I think sometimes that's the way we are. We get focused on the things that really don't matter. We get focused on things that really are not priority. But Paul says, if I'm going to run, I'm running not as uncertainly, not confused, not without a purpose. He said, I'm running with a purpose. But then Paul says this, so fight I. He said, I'm fighting, but I'm not fighting as one that beats the air. It's an interesting thought, interesting concept. I brought a little something with me this morning. I brought some boxing gloves. I'm not a boxer, so you're not in any danger. Just trust me on that. Nobody's going to get hurt from my punches. But I do need somebody to punch. So, Lawson, since you're sitting on the front row, second row, would you mind coming up here, Lawson? Help me out. All right. Lawson, I'm going to have you stand right here, brother, on the platform. Now, Lawson is a wonderful young man. Lawson is not the devil. Can you say that with me? Lawson is not the devil. Everybody got that? Okay. Lawson, are you the devil? No, you're not the devil. We know you're not. But for this illustration, you're going to be the devil. Okay? All right. So, here I am. I am a Christian that is trying to live for God. I'm trying to run the race. I'm trying to fight the fight. But I've got an enemy. Who's my enemy? The devil. And guess what? He's your enemy too. He's already getting a strategy how he's going to get you this week. He's already getting a strategy how he's going to destroy you, how he can distract you, how he can deceive you, how he can discourage you. The devil is out already while you're in church getting your strategy to live for God. The devil's already walking about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Now here's the problem. As Christians, sometimes we're beating the air. What does it mean to beat the air? So if this is the devil right here, and this is my enemy, how much good am I doing if I am swinging over here? I mean, I could be swinging all day. I could wear myself out. I could knock myself out literally with exhaustion. If I'm swinging over here, I'm not fighting the devil. So if I'm going to fight the devil, I've got to have a strategy. And by the way, I'm not going to be able to do anything against the devil in my own strength. I'm going to need to have the power of the Word of God. I'm going to need to have the power of prayer. I'm going to need to have a life that is devoted to God and a life that is walking with God. And so if I've got a strategy, I might be able to land some punches. I might be able, don't worry, I'm not going to hit you. I already told you, okay? But I might be able to land some, but I need to have a strategy. That's why we need to read the Bible. That's why we need to read the Bible every day. That's why you say, I read the Bible years ago. Well, wonderful. But guess what? The devil's fighting you today. And you're going to need some strength and power, and you're going to need some help for today. So I'm not over here just beating the air. I'm not over here just swinging wildly because the devil's over there. How about this? Sometimes we don't beat the devil. Sometimes we beat each other. Tyler, could you help me out? Noah, can you help me out, bud? Y'all stand right up here, okay? Now, for illustration, come just stand right here beside me, okay, for illustration. Okay, these guys are not the devil, for the illustration, okay? You're not the devil at home, I hope. Okay, all right. So these guys, these are my teammates. These are my fellow Christians. I mean, we're fighting together, right? We're in a battle against the devil. We're not in a battle against each other. So if I'm over here and I'm thinking, I got to get him and I got to get him. Wait a minute. That old devil's up there. He's laughing at us. He's thinking, that's silly. Why are they beating each other? Why are they fighting each other? Tyler's not the enemy. Noah's not the enemy. We're on the same team. We ought to be ganging up on the devil, not ganging up on each other. I'll let you guys sit down. I'm going to be careful. I'm not swinging when you guys are that close. How about this? Sometimes we beat the air, don't we? We are not focused. We're not focused on the real enemy. We're just focused on silly stuff, crazy stuff. Sometimes we beat each other. And I want to tell you, we don't need to beat each other. We need each other. We need to encourage each other. How sad it would be to come to church and leave and to be discouraged because somebody was critical. How sad it would be to come to church when you're supposed to be encouraged and uplifted and you leave and you think, man, I didn't get much out of the message because the person next to me, they were just critical the whole time. They were just negative the whole time. Sometimes we beat the air. Sometimes we beat each other. And sometimes we beat ourselves. I've never read in the scripture, I've never found one place where the Bible says you need to beat yourself up because you failed. I don't see that. I see where the Bible says a just man falleth seven times and he riseth up again. I've seen where we're supposed to confess our sins and we're supposed to forsake our sins and we're supposed to get right with God. But I've never seen where the Bible says when you get knocked down, stay down and pout about it and beat yourself up over. I've never seen that. But sometimes that's what we do. And friend, I want to tell you, we need to stop beating the air. We need to stop beating each other. We need to stop beating ourselves. And we need to get back to beating the devil. Paul said, I'm running the race, not as uncertainly. He said, I'm fighting, but I'm not fighting like one that's beating the air. Paul said, I've got a purpose. I've got a mission. I want to be victorious. I want the victor's crown. I want to have a reward. I want to hear well done. You did a great job, and you didn't get hurt, and you're not the devil. I had to clarify that. But then I see lastly, In verse 27, there must be poise. Paul said, I keep under my body and I bring it into subjection. There are two phrases there that basically mean the same thing. Paul says, I'm going to discipline myself. I'm going to be rigid when it comes to self-control and self-discipline. He said, because I'm running a race. Because I'm fighting a fight. You don't prepare for a boxing match by sitting on the couch, flipping channels, eating potato chips, right? Now, again, I've never been in a boxing match, but I would guess that wouldn't be on the list for the training regimen. If you're preparing for a fight, you got to be disciplined. You've got to train. You've got to work. You've got to exercise. You've got to diet. You've got to devote yourself to that. There must be discipline. But then I see in verse 27, the last part of the verse, I see that if we're going to receive the incorruptible crown, we must practice what we preach. Now, hang on. Paul said, I have discipline and I try to discipline my body. I try to discipline myself because when I have preached to others, I don't want to be a castaway. That has the idea of being disqualified. It has the idea of being set aside. Now, I've told you that I don't know how to box. Now I'm going to confess something else. I don't know how to golf. I have golfed, I just don't know how to do it. But I heard this week on the news, and some of you golfers can relate to this, or maybe you can identify with this. There's a major tournament, And on Friday, there was a well-known golfer, Jordan Spieth, I think I'm saying his last name right, who is an amazing golfer. He's got a big name and probably won a lot of tournaments and won a lot of money, but something happened this week in the tournament. On Friday, he was disqualified. You say, what was he doing? Was he hitting people with golf clubs? Was he, you know, destroying the golf course? No, he wasn't doing those things. But he was disqualified because he filled out a scorecard incorrectly. He signed it. He left it at the scorer's table, and he left. And because of that, he was disqualified. You say, well, that's not fair. That's, I mean, you know, he's probably the best golfer. He's probably one of the best. That's not fair, but that's the rule. Now, I don't understand golf, but I know something about basketball. And I know this, that it doesn't matter if you step 3 feet out of bounds or 3 centimeters out of bounds. If you're out of bounds, you're out of bounds. And here's what I'm saying to all of us here today, is that this book God has given us, this is our manual. This is our rule book. This is our guidebook. And whether you agree with it or not, whether I agree with it or not, that's not really what matters. What matters is that God has said it, and it's true. So that's why a person could live their whole life. You could give every dime you ever earned to charity. You could spend every hour of your life doing things for other people. You could spend every ounce of strength you have on helping the needy. You could do all of that. But the Bible says this: what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world, but he loses his own soul? You could do stuff for everybody. You could give your whole life savings away. But that doesn't get you to heaven. You say, why not? Because Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. We've got to do it God's way. That's not only true in salvation, but that's true in Christian living. You see, I don't want to preach one thing to my children and then live something else. I don't think you'd want to preach to your grandchildren a certain thing and then do something else. I don't think we want to teach our Sunday school classes and our buses and bus riders and our master clubs and our Christian school students. We don't want to tell them one thing and then we do another. That's not consistent. That's not a message worth hearing. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, if you'll notice with me, verse 14, even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. God has given us the gospel. He's given us the message of salvation. He's given us a precious, precious treasure. But we need to practice what we preach. We need to not just talk the talk, but we need to walk the walk. How come? Because there are some people that aren't going to just hear it because you say it. There's going to be some people that want to see it in your life.
Thank you for listening to the preaching podcast of Victory Baptist Church in Roanoke Rapids, North Carolina, led by Pastor Jeremy Kobernak. For more information about our ministry, please visit our website at vbcrr.org. May God bless you as you serve Him this week.